listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, 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 live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life for Wednesday, August 11th. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. Glad to be here. You know, you said August 11th and it's Wednesday. That means we're coming into a Friday the 13th.
That's happening.
Ooh. Just had to throw that in there.
Everybody watch out. We all know what happens on Friday the 13th, especially at,
midnight.
I'm starting to mix up my horror movies, but...
There we go.
Thanks for those joining us live. We always appreciate having you. Always appreciate a good dynamic discussion. Looking forward to it tonight. And thanks to those listening to the archives. We appreciate you taking the time to catch up with us. As always, the Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Tonight, we'll begin with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. Tonight's topic, cultivating friendships. And I have to say this is a perfect time for this conversation. So thank you, Dr. Hunter, for the idea. And in this pandemic, there have been, you know, many families that have suffered loss and suffered heartbreak due to COVID-19, and there are many families that have, or individuals especially, that have suffered due to isolation and loneliness. And what better time to talk about cultivating friendships?
You know, I had another conversation with my second daughter today, and she brought it up where they're living. Of course, they've been in isolation for a year and a half, and she said she looks around and people act like there isn't a pandemic and the numbers are going up, and so they're isolating. She said, you know, really, sometimes I wonder why we live here. I don't have any good friends here. You know, I don't go out. Like, what are we doing? And I said, boy, we're talking about that tonight, and you're not alone. You're not the only one I've talked to about this.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I have clients who go through this, and I think if we can separate COVID for a moment, even without COVID, it seems to be a really difficult time to grow friendships. I mean, you can have a lot of acquaintances, you know, lots of people you run into, might socialize a little bit, but I'm talking about really good friends and, you know, people you can share with and talk with and, you know, banter with. It's, you know, and call up when you're having a good day, a bad day, share some news with. It seems to be all on social media.
Yeah, that's a lot.
And I gotta tell you, I found out about my son's last baby on social media. I'm thinking, what have we come to?
Like, I mean, really? Come on, at least a private text or something.
Something, but no. I mean,
And do you think it was, you know, a slight, or do you think it's simply a different way that a generational communication techniques?
I think when they do that, they really believe that's the way of letting everybody know when they carry on with their life. You know, I don't think that there's... look, I'm really lucky to have a handful of, you know, mature women like myself who I can speak with at any given time. We always give space to each other, because if I don't talk to somebody for 3 weeks, we're good. You know, pick up where we left off. Other times we might have to talk and vent 3 times in a week. And it's like that. But I have, we're talking about cultivating friendships, I have cultivated these friendships for many, many years. You know, and it's, so I know a lot of people, but I have a handful of really good friends. And I must say, only one of them lives here in town where I live. So all of my connections with these people have, with these friends have been, through the phone, online, or, you know, go and visit. And of course, now we enter into COVID, and of course, all these restrictions, right? So it's, that adds a whole new dimension. So I think that honestly, social media has kind of curbed our intimacy in so many ways, or at least the expectations of what friendships are supposed to be. And when you're older, you have a different view. When you're younger, of course, it's a completely, you know, different perspective.
Yeah, like, very much so.
So I think that, you know, and what we're going to talk about today has to be kind of divided into those two different sections. COVID has amplified the issues that we see it much clearer now. And how do you have good conversations and communications with people when you no longer have the skills, and the others that you're afraid to grow skills?
Yeah.
You know? You
know, that's why I think video chat is a great way to stay in touch, because it allows you to continue to pick up on facial cues and body language a bit more.
And absolutely.
It's not, you know, the same as being right next to somebody, but it's the next best thing. You know, a phone call, better than that. And then, you know, text messaging, instant messaging, online. You know, there are a lot of ways that you can cultivate friendships, too. I mean, and I think it is much different for, well, different types of friendships. And also, I do think there are differences in ways that different generations communicate, especially this new generation, Generation Z. These kids, they think they're so special just because they're the ones that are the young generation now.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can have a lot of wonderful friendships from long distances, just like you said. I have friends that don't live terribly far away, but about an hour. And I'll go and visit them every now and again, but we stay in touch via text message a lot. We'll text each other like jokes and little things like that, and brief updates here and there. But they hate talking on the phone. Can't stand it. So you're either in person or you're texting. But, and that's just kind of a thing. You know, it has really become, especially for, you know, I would say millennials, maybe some Gen X and below, it's become very off-putting for phone calls, especially long phone calls. They just don't feel comfortable with it. I think that is kind of a lost skill. There's nothing like a good, you know, long phone call sometimes. Just a just a good chat.
I agree. I guess it, what is your definition of a friendship? What is it that you need at an emotional, spiritual level? And is it that honesty? Is it the just somebody to hang out with, go to movies with, or is it somebody you can really have good talks with, you know?
Well,
and that's to me what a phone does. A phone forces you to talk. You know, I had a friend the other day stop in for a few days. Haven't seen her in a year and a half. It was nice to see her. And I think it was her third night here. She says, "Oh, you want to watch a movie?" I said, "No." "I can watch a movie anytime. I want us to sit and, like, play with tarot cards and do really cool things." "Oh, yeah, okay." Like, you know, "No, we're not going to watch a movie." It's, and yet some people, see, she's right now it kind of in between where she's going to be living. So she's staying with friends. Well, she sees them all the time. So what they do is sit around and watch movies very often in the evening. And fair enough. "But I haven't seen you for a long time, and I'm not wasting the movie on that." You know, I'm not. No. So we had a great time. But that's just it. Is what is it? What kind of friendship? And, you know, do you want? Do you need? Do you require? Well, and I'm not saying like friendship for every mood.
Right.
You know, a lot of people have a friend for every mood, and then they wonder why nobody knows them very well. It's because you're only showing one side of yourself to, you know, you call, let's say, Sarah when you're crying, you call, you know, Alice when you're happy, and you know, that happens more than we realize, to be honest.
Yeah, and you don't want to be a fair weather friend, you know.
No,
you know, I would say my definition of a true friend is somebody that I would trust in the zombie apocalypse. So, somebody who's, you know, loyal, gonna be there, gonna have your back, and you know they do because you likewise are there for them. It's a support structure, you know. It's that.
Yeah.
It's the key, and you know, the brilliant evolutionary trait of humanity, the key to our survival, and the thing that has allowed us to excel in so many ways. Is our ability to form these kind of close bonds and relationships.
I agree.
And I think that for everybody, based on their personality, there will be different ways that you fundamentally communicate with your friends. You mentioned you didn't want to waste time watching a movie with somebody that you hadn't seen in a long time.
Yeah.
Whereas I would not mind that at all. In fact, I'd be perhaps with friends where we, especially if we're not in a movie theater, but if we're at a house, we might, you know, crack jokes throughout the movie or, you know, here and there and talk about it, but then, and then it becomes a shared experience, and you talk about it afterwards and, you know, just go on different things. But I think it's just about, you know, what you're interested in, you know, what it what you enjoy doing together. So it's just about spending time and sharing experiences, and however you personally get the most value out of that.
I think what we tend to forget, too, is that friendships, like any relationship, has to be nurtured. You know, it's at least on birthdays, acknowledging somebody on special occasions and, you know, remembering the holidays. It's and even then in between the times. I have a friend, we go back early 80s, and we have... you know, both led very separate lives for a very long time now. We always call each other on our birthdays. Always. And that cultivates it. You know, like, "I still love you. I still think about you. Happy birthday." We spend a couple hours on the phone. We catch up. And that's just staying connected. You know, and yet other friendships, that other handful of women I know, you know, it's, "How are you?" Sometimes I just send a funny little comic to one of them, you know, or I get one from somebody, or, "Hey, I'm thinking of you. Hope you have a good day." You know, that kind of a thing. And what you're doing is sending out that message that you're on my mind, thinking of you. How did that thing go at work?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you're nurturing that friendship, not calling just when you need something.
Right.
My old friend, teacher, mentor, Frank, used to say, "We only use our friends." I had to think about that. And he said, he explained that you don't call up a stranger to help you move or pack, you know, pack your house. You call your friends. He said, "Oh, yeah, okay."
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "But what are you giving back?" So friends are always using each other. We utilize our friends.
Yeah.
So if you need something, you know who to call. But how do you reinvest in that friendship where it's not like I'm your friend, but you're not really my friend kind of thing?
I think, you know, pizza and beer, but go on.
Sure. You know, reciprocated in a way of respect, kindness, and, you know, it's that mutual exchange
right. Somehow.
I know you're there for me. I'm here for you.
Yeah,
and
can't be a one-way street.
Connect. Yeah. You know, I'm getting a little too old to haul your boxes in a truck, but I can certainly come and help you pack.
Right.
You know, that kind of a thing. So it's just kind of, how do you nurture it? How do you give and invest yourself time-wise? I've known a lot of people who, the minute I hear from them, I know they want something.
Right.
See? And yet they think we're friends. And I go, no, I'm your friend. You're not really my friend.
Yeah.
So you're not there for me.
What about...
Go ahead.
What about friends? Well, would you define somebody as a friend that you haven't spoken to in years? Would you be able to, you know, would you still, like, reconnect with them? Or if they did need something, would you consider helping them? How long does it last?
Oh, absolutely. You know, Michael, I just reconnected with a woman I hadn't talked to in 25 years. And we had the best time on the phone. And she said that she's tried to find me, you know, a couple of times. But I said, you know, the last time I talked with you, I don't think it went very well. I thought you were mad at me. She goes, oh, no, that was that guy I was married to. He didn't like anybody who was making my life miserable. I said, oh, okay. So, you know, we got that out of the way right away, see? So
yeah.
There was a little tension back then, but yeah, for sure. And now we're connected again. I think that's wonderful.
It is.
We haven't talked
story.
Much. We still have, you know, busy lives and, you know, she's a hard worker in her life and getting used to a life of being single, et cetera. Actually, she decided to go hardcore biker, got a Harley and did nothing. She put 100,000 miles on her motorbike.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, I mean, I think it's hilarious. 60 years old on her bike going down the highway. That's great. But
no, never too late.
So I'm not saying that there isn't possibilities in these long periods of time, especially, you know, longevity. The longer you're here, the more you, I think, soften a little bit or more forgiving.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean we don't have boundaries and don't have all those considerations too. So,
oh, yeah.
It's really hard these days to make new friends. You move to a new town, or even if you've lived in a town for a few years, you say, like, I don't have any friends here.
Yeah.
People like to, I always say, pee on their fire hydrants. You know, and it's a click very often.
I mean, it's a Canadian thing.
Well, I'm not so sure it's just Canadian.
Oh, I'm just taking you too literally, that's all.
You know, you get comfortable in your circle.
Sure.
And you're happy to say hi to new people, but you don't want them in your circle.
Well,
and that makes it harder for other people to make friends.
When do you feel like that might have happened?
Sorry?
When do you feel like that happened from your personal experience?
I see it happen to a lot of people, I think it happens all the time, more than we realize.
No, by which, I mean, at what age do you think that begins to happen?
I have seen it happen to young people and old people. And I think the older we get, the harder it is to make friends.
Yeah.
And I think, honestly, emotionally, there's a number of reasons for that. I mean, you have a different perspective of life when you're older. Everything, you know, it's like,
yeah,
I know a
I
girl
get that.
Who said, oh, Vicky, my mother's lost her marbles. She had to go on the phone. She couldn't talk longer. And I said, why? Well, she had 5 shirts to iron. What? Yes, 9 o'clock in the morning. She has 5 shirts to iron. That's going to take her all day.
Yeah.
And she's 80 years old. So that to her is this monumental task. And
or just an excuse to get off the phone.
Yeah, that's true. But you know, if everything seems bigger. But the other is when you're older, everybody's dying. You don't want to get close to new people.
Well,
you know, if there's that attachment disorder kind of thing.
I think it has to go by, you know, person by person, and it varies, as you said. But because, you know, I'm, you know, 35 now, I don't think I've hit that yet where I've, you know, gotten to a point where I'm not interested in new friends. Although my, you know, circle of friends has been pretty steady for a while now. I've, you know, incorporated new friends into it lately.
You have that kind of personality, though, Michael. You're very open and warm, receiving and willing. And not many people, I think everybody wants to be that way, but can they follow through to act that way?
Well,
that's quite different.
You know, every time Dr. Hunter says something so nice about me, I do have to pay her under the table, just a little behind the scenes. It's sponsoring.
I want a tip tonight.
But, you know, but nothing.
Here's an example. I had seen a woman who worked at a little gas station store, stopped in there a few times, said hi to her. Her name was Brenda. Hey, Brenda, how you doing? She's looking after her old mother, working part-time, getting through a day. Okay. Well, I was working at the funeral home a couple of years ago, and lo and behold, she walks in. I said, well, hi, how you doing? I haven't seen you in a while. Well, her mother passed. Okay, and now, you know, her whole life has changed. And I said, when you settle, I'm going to give you a call. Now, I tried 3 times within the 3 months after. Finally, I did get her on the phone, and she said, you know, I really have no interest making new friends. I said, geez, Brenda, okay, I respect that, but you mentioned how you were bored and lonely and, you know, nobody was around, so I'm just reaching out. She said, yeah, I'm not good at being a friend. I have other people I could be friends with, but if I see them once a year, you know, that's enough. Okay.
Obviously some cognitive dissonance going on there.
Yeah, I know.
But, you know.
But
and that's
she had isolated herself, do you see? And,
it's unfortunate.
And living out of both sides of her mouth. And I kind of just sent her a nice warm light, and I thought, it's got to be hard to be her, so fearful of getting to know people or enjoying yourself in relationships and so isolated emotionally.
Well,
you know, she wants friends. And she's a lovely woman, but she can't make that step to let that guard down, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what I mean. A lot of people want to.
And that's very unfortunate. It's unfortunate because there are multiple levels of benefits to cultivating friendships and cultivating relationships with human beings. It is, you know, both selfish and selfless at times. But we've talked about a lot of the practical benefits. It's obviously beneficial for your mental health to be able to vent with people, to have people that you trust, to have a circle of people that you routinely interact with. And it has very physical health benefits. Loneliness is worse for your health than smoking.
Yeah.
It has a bigger effect on your likelihood of, you know, longevity than anything else. And
I totally agree with that, Michael. And this is where social media has not necessarily done us a favor.
No.
And so many things can just be done through artificial intelligence or, you know, right down to, you know, human relations to, you know, HR departments and, you know, hiring practices. And, you know, it all has to go through algorithms and stuff. You can't talk to a human being. So it diminishes our connection, but that's what we're all screaming for, is to have that connection.
That's why, you know, businesses like Amazon have obviously displaced a lot of big box stores, they call them. And the places that are still thriving, though, are the places that give you a personal touch. They give you a human being to interact with. They guide you through a process. So, you know, a lot of places have had to shut down, but the places that are not are those that, yes, you will end up paying a bit more, but you get a, you know, experience. You get an interaction. You have somebody there to help you with these things. I'm thinking of certain, you know, clothing stores or like even Best Buy. The ability to go someplace and to talk to somebody about it is what you're paying for, you know. And those are the places that I think will still be around even when Amazon becomes even more ubiquitous. Not that I have anything against it. I have, you know, my Amazon account, my Amazon Prime. I don't knock it, but I do agree that we need to be careful with our social media friendships, but I am of the opinion that you can have a meaningful friendship through social media, in a way.
I agree on one side, but how interactive does it become? You know, it's...
Right.
I'm with you, Michael, especially through COVID, and because I live away from a lot of my good friends.
Yeah.
We have adapted to, you know, through technology. But I have a friend here, and when it's not all smoky and we aren't surrounded by fires, then we go for walks. You know, somebody to go for a walk with, pick up the phone and say, hey, you know what, do you want to go shopping? I need to go look for a new rug. You know, and that's just that cool hangout. Hey, you want a road trip? Yeah. Let's go for our annual road trip and we go find a winery. You know, it's
always easier to do road trips and walks and things when the country isn't on fire. Just makes it so much more convenient.
But we were on alert last weekend and a lot of people around us were evacuated. And so, yeah, but what it did, everybody's calling to see how you're doing, you know, who your friends are, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm talking to Susan all the time, my kids all the time. We're getting a plan.
I knew there's I was supposed to call you. I'm so sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, you didn't call me.
I did not.
Because you probably didn't even know.
Did not.
See, there you go. There's another woman in town I've, you know, acquaintance with. Now, I knew her back in high school. She lives here. Mm-hmm. We got in touch, and I said, she's all stressed. And I said, I've got your back. You can follow us out of town. Oh, Vicki, I'm so thankful you're here. You know, I was starting to get so worried and I'm scared. And I got you. Don't worry about it. Kids have got tents if we have to. Mm-hmm. You know, we're heading out. So we had a plan, and that's when the whole community rallies. And you grab these friends, you put it together. I just wish it wasn't a crisis that had to happen.
Well, that's the survival mentality of, you know, being the human animal. It is what we're programmed to do. Not that that's a bad thing. It's just, you know, it's our instinct. Every animal that has ever been and ever will be, every creature has its own instinctual programming. And not to say that we're all bound to it, but it is one of those things that it's like a failsafe. When the times get real rough, a lot of people will band together and, you know, do things for the greater good. Mm. Usually.
I agree. You know, a couple of points have just been brought up in the chat that I really appreciate and I want to share here. Mike T has said, I think that people say things on social media they would never say to you face to face.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's true.
Mike, you're absolutely true. Then Dr. Stephen backs that up with privacy and confidentiality of a close friendship, close friend communications on social media died a long time ago. That, bingo, if we're cultivating a friendship, I don't know that that's going to land all over social media.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're out for dinner and somebody's taking a picture and throwing it up on Facebook.
Yeah.
I didn't want you to take my picture. You know,
yeah, like, that can be an issue.
And this makes people, it makes people concerned and worried and kind of, I don't know who you are and are you going to do that? I would never do that to my friends. Matter of fact, I have a daughter and son-in-law. If I ever even put their picture on my Facebook page, she would be mad.
Yeah.
They're very private people.
Yeah.
So having a friend, putting something on social media would send her, as Dr. Kelly would say, where you can't get a postcard.
Well, then that just, you know, it is a perfect example of the need for effective communication between friends and appropriate and healthy expectations.
Exactly. Yes.
You know, because if, you know, Dr. Stephen had alluded to, you know, concentric circles of friends, and that, you know, that's true. We all have our layers. We have our friendly acquaintances, our friends, our close friends, best friends, etc., however you term to define it. And I would say that, you know, it's just, if you're going to have a friend, understand them for who they are. You know, don't try to change them, unless you really need to, unless it's something really bad. But I'm just kidding. But you know, accept them for who they are, and if you can't, then you know it's probably just not a friendship that's going to work out. And you have to understand. You have to have appropriate expectations. You have to understand, you know, what kind of level your friendship's at. You know, somebody that I haven't talked to in 10 years, am I going to call them up and ask them to help me move? Probably
No.
not. I mean, I'm going to say no. But you know, I have my
No,
group of
you'd be more
friends
like
that.
saying, I ran out of all my friends to use, and you're the last one in my phone book, so can I?
Hey, you
That's
are my 10th choice. Come on, help a guy out.
funny. That's
But
funny.
you know, that's why I have a group of friends. You know, they help me move, I help them move. It's, you know, it's a give and take, and that is the fundamental essence to effective human society. It's a give and take. You have too many takers, it's an imbalance, it's a problem. Vice versa, it's an imbalance. It always has to be in balance, as with all things, really. And let's not forget that the secret to happiness may be different for a lot of people, but I think the real secret to happiness for a lot of people is human connection. Is, you know, doing something you love, absolutely, but having people there to share it with is essential. You know.
Dr. Stephen just said, if you'll always have more friends if you own a truck.
That's
That's
very
true.
true. Very true.
But I'm with you on that, Michael. I think that we're screaming to feel connection, but we don't know what connection is largely, and we don't know what that means. And, you know, where we connect, and that might mean being responsible,
Yes.
which I would like to have a part two of this. Next week,
Sure.
and in you know, cultivating intimate relationships, which boy, most of my clientele, this is about, you know, in relationships. I had a young client of mine, actually, I've known her for 20 years or more, and she messaged me. She said, "Hey, can I just phone you? I want to share something with you." I said, "Sure." And she said, she's on the dating sites. And just recently out of a relationship, and so, you know, looking around, and she said, "You know, I keep seeing this thing called little, you know, tag on people's profiles, ethical non-monogamy." She said, "What is that?" And I said, "Well, that's booty call." And she said, "But so I started looking around because she's like that. Okay, you know." All these men's profiles, but at least 50% of them. And I said, "Well, okay, is it just the men?" And she said, "But I'm looking over and I'm seeing it with women too. And this ethical non-monogamy. So they want intimacy without any responsibility or emotional investment." And I said, "You know, it's really interesting to me. That's just, you know, putting up an ad to screw around is what that is. But how many people want the connection, but they don't know how to have it and be responsible with it and what that means?" And I'd really like to talk more about that. And
Yeah.
Jamil is saying cultivating intimate relationships right up his alley. He'd been working on attracting love in his life, and let's talk about it. Let's take this conversation another level.
Absolutely. You got it. So we'll have
Because I do have some things to say about this.
excellent.
Number one, can everybody just please be an adult?
Okay, now you are asking too much.
Well, while we're just here, I'm going to segue right into, if anybody like cards tonight, please put your name into the chat while we finish this up. Michael, I don't think I ask too much for you to be an adult.
Oh, come on. You're asking me to not be juvenile? And I, you know, you were talking about, you know, having
Don't
a,
act like an 8-year-old.
well, I can do that, but if you're going to ask me to act like something that's older than 16 to 17, then that's just unacceptable. I'm sorry, you know, anytime I hear somebody say Uranus instead of Uranus, I giggle. All right, that's who I am. That's who I'm always going to be. So you just have to accept it. But yeah, you know, it's going to be a good discussion next week. Looking forward to it. And I think we're already having some names for cards. So
yeah,
without further ado, on to the next section of our segment of our program.
So for those who are new, and we've seen a name or two, we have the Inner Oracle Self-Discovery cards developed by Dr. Kelly, that Michael chooses one. Mm-hmm. And then I pick out a backup support tarot card. And we'll see what kind of story it tells.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, all right. First up, we have Dr. Shirley. And from the Inner Oracle deck, I have number 36, gratitude. Perfect for cultivating friendships. Let's see. Gratitude is the joy one feels in the heart when the mind awakens to the gifts of life, no matter how seemingly small or insignificant. The truest essence of love lives within the feeling of gratitude, desiring a connection with all life while giving freely without want for return. Gratitude is benevolence that wants to give forward. Take a compliment with graciousness and good manners when gratitude is extended.
You know, I get the support card of the Page of Pentacles, Page of Diamonds for you, Shirley. And in with respect to, again, it's supporting a gratitude, but this is a communications card. It's like, at times money is not the measure of payment. Sometimes it comes in other forms. And again, and a fair and equitable exchange of value. So if you're in need of support or help with something, but let's say you don't have the finances, offer something else. But equally, someone might come to you and say, you know, I can't afford this right now, but I'd sure like your help. Say, well, hey, you know, what I've done before is to have a pound of coffee. You know, just that kind of a gesture. So even the gratitude of the gesture,
mm-hmm.
and gesture being gratitude is sometimes enough, but there must be value for value. So if that's something that you're thinking about right now or something that's going on, Shirley, the message to me is, you know, weighing out, as long as there's value in the exchange, it's there's gratitude in that. So I hope that makes sense to you.
Well said.
Okay.
All right. And I believe we have Jamil next.
We do.
Number 15, belief system and knowledge base. All right, let's see. We each operate life from an existing belief system. And sometimes the solution or direction lies outside of our belief system. Equally, when knowledge is expanded, a belief system calls for revision. Consider that opening the mind for more information and knowledge may be required, subsequently adjusting a belief system. Know that the knowledge you seek is within. All right, hope that connects.
Well, I got the Hermit as a support to that, Jamil. You know, it's really about looking inside. Hermit is introspective. Hermit's a thinker. Taking a moment to reevaluate sometimes, kick out old beliefs, bring in some new beliefs, that whole thinking. And I really am a believer that we do this continually in our lives as we evolve and we grow. So this just might be a moment that, thinking about stuff and say, you know what? That stuff doesn't apply to me anymore. Backspace, delete. I'm just going to rethink a few things. Oh, Wendy says that Jamil had that card on March 31st. So there's something there. I think you're in a transformation there, Jamil. Hope that makes sense. Hope that applies.
All right. Good message.
Jess is up next, Michael.
All right. And I have number 24, truth. There are many ways to discover cosmic truth. It begins with knowing who you are and why you are who you are. This is your truth. Discovering cosmic truth involves further discovering the truths that are often concealed within a relationship or a life situation. Yet, the only truths kept secret are those we will not see. This is a time of deep introspection to intuitively gauge the way ahead. This card may indicate that there is a truth in something or in a direction.
Ooh, it's kind of loaded there, Jeff. The Four of Diamonds, tarot language, that's the Four of Pentacles. And very often, the Four of Diamonds is being a little miserly, in a word. It's what a common word you'll see associated with that symbol. But it's holding on to what you have. I also see it as, what is a stabilizing force in your life? You know, and maintaining that stability. So the truth is, what is your stabilizing force? And I suppose, how do you add more? How do you move forward while you're stable? Now, there might be some things that you're holding on too tightly to, where you have to surrender that. So see the truth in that and make sure that the good stabilizing forces remain. But if there's some things that don't apply anymore, they gotta go. So hope that makes sense to you, Jeff.
All right, good message. All right, let's see who we have up next. I believe it is Wendy. And
that's
glad to have you back, Wendy. All right. We have wild card number 6, Entropy. I always love a wild card. Has a little extra pizzazz. Let's see. Within the cycle of life, there are useful energies, which is low entropy, that can wane to uselessness, which is high entropy. Their energy stands still and their entropy increases. They no longer give value to the evolution of life. This can include an attitude or behavior that requires adjustment to once again take a new step in renewal and rebirth, thus lowering one's entropy. When one seeks to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem, that one lowers his or her personal entropy and the world is a better place.
I think you have somebody causing you a little grief right now, Wendy. I got the 8 of Spades and the 7 of Hearts. They came out together, so I got to read them together in support of the word entropy. Somebody you might want to believe in, you hope the best of them, but you might find your energy drained when you're around them. And sometimes that's not easy to admit to, but seeing it for what it is actual, rather than what you hope for, you know, it's a tough one. So it's just asking, all this is doing is asking you to look at that. And, you know, I think we should engage with people with the boundaries that are sometimes set. You know, it's not all, sometimes relationships are just going to be sharing muffin recipes. That's all.
Right.
And that's got to be okay. Yeah. Other relationships are deeper. They're, you know, more personalized. But if somebody here, I think what it is seeing it's more one-sided. You're giving more than they are. And if you feel like you're getting tired around them, you know, just kind of limit the association. I'm not saying get rid of them. I'm just saying limit it.
Right.
Know where it belongs and what it is.
And if they call and you need to get off the phone, just tell them that you have 5 shirts that you need to iron. It's going to take you a while.
Good one, Michael.
All right. We have...
It'll be the shirt thing from now on. Yeah.
All right. Ronaldo, I believe you are up next. And I have number 31, Sacred Obligations. Let's see. A sacred obligation is a sacrosanct duty that any higher being would render for the highest good for all concerned. Sacred obligations include do no harm, do right, pay it forward, uphold individual value, value all life, extend tolerance and equality, control and change only what one is entitled to control and change, evolve and grow as a human being with higher awareness, promote knowledge, not fear, and more. Continue to aspire to your highest good by recognizing and fulfilling your sacred obligations.
You know, this message for you, Ronaldo, might seem vague and almost cryptic. and yet I'm assured here somehow that it might make sense to you. In support of sacred obligations, I get the Eight of Hearts. That's the Eight of Cups. Now, a lot of people see that as a negative. I don't. It's moving forward, trusting your intuition. You don't really know where you're going, what you're doing. You have a goal and you've projected for that, but each step that you take, you're not sure if it's the right one. So it's having that matter of faith, knowing who you are, trusting yourself, believing in yourself has everything to do with the frequency that you're on and how the energy is moving forward. You have the intelligence to discern negative from positive and so on, but it's allowing to walk in the dark and be okay with that, and trusting your instincts and your senses that you're going to be exactly where you're supposed to be. That's what I know that sounds so cryptic and, oh, I've gone cliche on you, but that's the message, is you don't know what's going on. That's okay. You know, it's like, yeah. Today's a mystery and it's got to be okay. Your obligation is to you and your spirit and the ethics of your life. So.
Very well said. Yeah, that is the absolute truth. You do have to be okay with just not knowing.
Sometimes.
But, all right.
We have Edward. Edward is the last name I think I see.
I believe you're right. And glad to have you with us, Dr. Edward. I have wild card number 9, blank.
I like it.
Drawing this card puts you on notice to dig deep within for the answers you seek. This card is what you want it to be. It is what you need it to be. And it is all that you desire it to be. Remember that the unconscious mind speaks to you in the quietest of voices, but the loudest of ways, often overlooked. The universe is always on your side. Dig deep, for your answers lay within.
Well, I love it that you have the Ace of Spades to that one, Edward. It's through the challenges and, oh, you know, not all days are good days, but your success is assured. So you're on the right track. You know, it's blank again, kind of an addendum to Ronaldo's, is that you have no idea what the outcome of this is going to be, but you're okay with that. But you're successful anyway, no matter what that is. So write your own script. And again, some of those challenges, but man, you got some really good energy supporting you in that. So the Ace of Spades, in a word, is success through overcoming challenge. So I hope that makes sense to you. You know, Wendy just made a comment about, I feel like the cards are very deep tonight. Is that just me? And I had to think about that for a second, Wendy, but I think it's because we're talking about relationships. So it's kind of all in that flow of that energy, you know, and the connections of friendships and taking it that deeper level. I'm just going with the flow here, but I think it's the energy of this segment tonight, and it's, you know, kind of following what we've already been talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But, all right. Well, I think that's it for the cards tonight, and it's been a deep cut, you know, and, you know, it's resonated, so glad to hear it. And we're going to have a great topic for next week. Looking forward to that. Very much so. Any last thoughts, Dr. Hunter?
Well, I'd like everybody to stop and think about how you are connecting with your friends, reach out to each other, even though somebody says, no, I'm okay, I'm good. Call them up anyway.
Absolutely.
Say hi. Send them a funny, or, you know, send them cosmic hugs or something, and, you know, reassure somebody that you are there. So,
And that can be so critical to somebody in their life and development. But
exactly.
Yeah.
Just stay connected, people. That's all.
Good message. So thank you, everybody, for joining us tonight. Please join us next week. It's going to be another great discussion about intimate relationships and how to cultivate them. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.